We preached through 1 Corinthians last year, which was a fantastic but challenging series. As we came to chapter 15, which speaks of Jesus' resurrection and of our resurrection to come, I open one sermon saying that I'm hoping I don't have to go to heaven, but accept I may have to. I'm hoping I don't have to go to heaven, but I accept I may have to. Now that raised a few eyebrows, and it was a great springboard for conversations about eternity, particularly the difference between heaven and the new creation. And we've been looking at both creation and the new creation this term across our churches, with a sermon series in Genesis in the mornings, and Revelation up at All Saints in the evenings. I'm also mindful that Easter's on the way with the beginning of Lent a week or so ago. So with all that in mind, we're going to take a break from our series in Genesis this morning, and we're going to think specifically about the theme of heaven, which also might help, I hope, might help equip us to speak into some of the questions we face as Christians. You know, what happens when we die? Where do we go? Is that the place we're going to be forever? Now, the scope of those questions are way beyond a single sermon, but I hope that this morning is going to be an encouraging start. And I'd also like to flag up this book, which I plugged in the notice sheet, which Trish recommended to a few weeks ago. It is a fantastic book. And again, Heaven and Hell by Edward Donnelly. It's great teaching on heaven and hell, but it's written by a minister, so it's got a pastoral heart too. And as I said before, I think it is one of the Christian books I've most enjoyed reading ever. So there's a plug for you. Do have your Bibles open at the passage Cliff read for us. We might jump around a bit more than usual. This is a thematic sermon. And I'm keen for us to explore this morning two broad things. What is heaven? And what is the implication of that for us as Christians? What is heaven? And so what for us as Christians? Dorothy's prayed already, so let's jump in. What is heaven? What is heaven? Now, Belinda Carlisle, she was a pin-up icon for many teenage boys of my generation. Her greatest hit, arguably, Heaven is a Place on Earth. They say in heaven, love comes first. We'll make heaven a place on earth. I'm not sure if the songwriters were concerned with theological accuracy when they penned the track. Call me picky, but it isn't. That's just not the way the Bible speaks about heaven. First, heaven isn't our place, but it's God's place. Heaven is God's place. It's the place where God is. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus uses the repeated refrain, your Father who is in heaven. Jesus teaches his followers to pray to our Father in heaven. Heaven is God's place, a real space where God is, beyond our reach, but no less real. Heaven is the place God dwells in all his fullness, his throne room. And the King is on the throne. Jesus is there. Heaven is the place Jesus was going when he says in John 20, 17, I am ascending to my Father. It's the place Jesus went after he ascended in Acts. The book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is seated in heaven at the right hand of God. Heaven is the paradise Jesus spoke of in Luke 23, the place he would be. As Jesus hangs on the cross with those two criminals, one on each side, we get a glimpse of the conversation between them. To one, Jesus says in verse 43, you will be with me in paradise. Heaven is God's place. And it's because God's there that heaven is a wonderful place. Luke 23, Jesus says, with me in paradise. I'm reminded of the strapline for Bounty Bars, a taste of paradise, and all the images that come to mind with that word, paradise. For biblical images, our minds might wander back to Genesis and the Garden of Eden, the very goodness of creation as God first made it. a place of unbroken relationship with God, where in some real sense, man and God inhabited the same space together. The Garden of Eden was a type or a representation of the future bliss God promises his people. In short, the thing we look forward to when we die. What is heaven? Well, heaven is God's place, and heaven is for Christians. It's next on the screens. Heaven is for Christians. Who will be in heaven with God? Luke 23, Jesus makes this promise to only one of the criminals alongside him. To the man who professes faith in Jesus. The faith in this criminal's heart is expressed by his lips. Verse 41, he confesses his sin and his guilt. And verse 42, he professes faith in Jesus. He turns to Jesus as his only hope of rescue. Or even more simply, verse 42, here's someone who recognizes Jesus as king and bows the knee before him. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, I know that one day you'll return in glory as the true king. Remember me on that day. This is the one to whom Jesus says, you will be with me in paradise. Heaven is for Christians. Heaven is for those people who are trusting in Jesus. And so hope is born. The hope of heaven for all who turn and trust in the Lord Jesus, who, like that criminal, come with nothing, nothing to offer. Those who are broken, those who are aware of our own failings, hope is found in Jesus. There is no one beyond the scope of God's forgiveness in Jesus. As long as there is life and breath in our bodies, there is the opportunity to turn and trust in Jesus. It's a personal hope, but it's also a corporate hope, a hope of being with those Christians who've gone before us to be with our great God. Here no more now, but today with God, in God's place, we will go to be with them. Felicity Partridge and Carol Phillips, the Apostle Paul, the thief on the cross with Jesus, all those through the ages who have trusted in Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. What is heaven? Well, heaven is God's place, the place where God lives, and heaven is for Christians, the place where God and his people live together again in paradise. So what for us as Christians then? Is it just that we now have the hope of going to God's place with all the other Christians who've ever lived and died when we die? Is that all the Bible teaches us about heaven? I'm not sure. I mean, I am sure, and it isn't. Let's look at three implications of the Bible's teaching on heaven for us as Christians. First, heaven begins now. Next on the screens, heaven begins now for Christians. We had our general election in December where citizens of this nation cast their vote, but there are also many people in the UK whose home is here but who are not citizens of this country. Some of us here this morning may have that status, citizens of another country. I know Malaysia and New Zealand, they're represented in our church family. Some of us even live outside Crowborough. Well, we welcome all of you. There are many people in the UK whose home is here, but who are not citizens of this country. Some living here permanently, others just passing through it, but nevertheless, all citizens of another place. The Bible speaks that way of Christians on earth, as citizens of another place. The Apostle Paul says to the church, Christians at Philippi, our citizenship is in heaven. Christians belong with Jesus. We are trusting in Jesus, and Jesus is today in heaven, which is where we belong. We're here now in person, but our citizenship, the place we truly belong, is with Jesus in heaven. wherever our earthly origin, wherever our earthly home, Christians have a new passport and it's got heaven stamped on the front of it. The hope of heaven is for all who turn and trust in the Lord Jesus. But it's not just a future hope. It's not just the hope of being with Jesus in the future. In some real sense, we have the hope of heaven today. Perhaps, just perhaps, Belinda Carlisle was onto something. Could heaven really be a place on earth? Well, in some way, yes. They say in heaven, love comes first. We'll make heaven a place on earth. Though the love that gives us the taste of heaven on earth isn't mainly human love, important as that is, but God's love for us. The Bible tells us that we love because he first loved us. A love that's seen supremely in the Lord Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The experience of human love is truly wonderful. But it's nothing to the experience of God's love for us in Jesus. A love we'll experience more fully in heaven with Jesus in person. But a love we can experience a taste of now. A taste of heaven on earth as we spend time with Jesus here. If your loved one's away on business or travelling, don't we delight to read and reread their texts or emails to us? I guess they're our modern equivalent of a love letter. It makes us feel closer to them, though they're far away from us. What a privilege for us to have God's words here in the pages of the Bible. For us to learn more about Jesus, though he's away from us in person. That the Bible is God's love letter to us. And as we pick up the phone to speak to our loved one, perhaps thousands of miles overseas, where the wreck of a phone bill is a minor cost to the joy of speaking to them for a moment. What a privilege for us to speak to God in prayer. That's our line of communication. Heaven begins now. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we get a taste of what it will be like to be in heaven as we listen to Jesus and speak with him now whilst we wait to be with him. In that book, Heaven and Hell, by Edward Donnelly, Donnelly writes, the richer and deeper our fellowship with Jesus now, the more heavenly will be our present experience, and the better prepared we'll be for heaven. The richer and deeper our fellowship with Jesus now, the more heavenly will be our present experience, and the better prepared we'll be for heaven. That's an encouragement in the present and a confidence for us as we face death, secure in the knowledge that we are indeed already trusting in Jesus, citizens of heaven now. Where does heaven begin? Well, heaven begins now. Secondly, heaven comes fully at death. Heaven comes fully at death. We find ourselves back in Luke 23 and the conversation between Jesus and one of the criminals, the confession of guilt in verse 41 and the profession of faith in verse 42. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Well, they are met with surprising words from Jesus. The Jews believed that God's true king would come in glory and set all things straight once and for all. The day of judgment, we might say. That the dead would be raised, that the world would be judged, and God's people would be with him forever. One of the criminals believes in Jesus, that when King Jesus returns in glory in the future, that Jesus can rescue him, restore him, receive him, whatever word we want to use. The criminal has his eyes fixed on that final day, way in the future, when he will be with King Jesus. So the surprise comes in verse 43 when Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. Truly, I say to you, listen carefully, this is really important. Today you will be with me in paradise. The criminal hopes to be with Jesus at the end of time, but Jesus says that will happen today. before the sun sets and evening comes. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Heaven comes fully at death. There is no soul sleep, no period when we suddenly wake up at the end of time. No, for those of us who face death today, whether that's known or unknown to us, if we are trusting in Jesus, we will be with him before the sun sets this very night. Heaven is God's place where dead Christians go to be with Jesus. And we go in spirit. Ecclesiastes 12:7 tells us that the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. The body remains, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But the spirit goes to meet its maker. The next life, the afterlife, is a spiritual life. Heaven comes fully at death as the Christian spirit goes to be with Jesus. Which also rules out purgatory. If there's ever a case to show the error of purgatory, it's the criminal on the cross. A convicted criminal, a deep sinner who has no redeeming past, no family to offer prayers or to take mass or to purchase a reduction in his time. No time or means to earn his salvation. Yet Jesus offers this man paradise today because he trusts in Jesus. The grace of God, God's undeserved goodness to us in Jesus, it rules out any notion of purgatory for the human spirit. That word today is a truly beautiful word, especially for those of us who've lost loved ones who are Christians. And I am particularly conscious of our recent losses of Felicity and Carol from our church family. And as painful as that is, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, we do not need to grieve as others who have no hope. Though pain and loss is hard and it's real for us, those trusting in Jesus need not fear death, because death is a passing to be with Jesus. And loved ones we have loved and lost who died in Christ are this morning now with him. Comfort for Dick and David that Felicity and Carol are today together with the Lord. When Christians depart, we depart to be with Christ. While we are mourning, they are with their Saviour. While we are weeping, they are safe with their Lord. One bishop, sadly no longer a bishop in the Church of England, writes, "To die is a solemn thing, but if we die in the Lord, we need not doubt that our death will be a gain." When does heaven begin? Well, heaven begins now, but it comes fully at death. And very finally, heaven is not the end. Heaven is not the end. Time magazine lists 80 days that changed the world. Penicillin discovered. Neil Armstrong sets foot on the moon. Two planes fly into the Twin Towers. Maybe we've each had days that have changed or shaped the direction of our own lives. What Jesus says in Luke 23 is nothing short of revolutionary. When Jesus offers the hope of heaven today to the criminal on the cross, he challenges our understanding of life after death. The Bible points ahead to a day, that day, the day of the Lord, judgment day, the second coming, when God's true King will come in glory to set all things straight, once and for all. On that day, the dead will be raised, the world will be judged, and God's people will be with him forever. That's what the criminal has in mind in Luke 23:42, when he asks Jesus to remember me when you come into your kingdom. Yet Jesus offers him something more immediate. It's the waiting room at the doctor's. We've arrived at the surgery, we've checked in with the receptionist, our appointment is confirmed, but we stay in the waiting room until the doctor's ready for us. Heaven is where Christians wait for the main event, the return of the King. It's our immediate destination after death, but it's not our final destination. Heaven is the place Christians wait consciously in the presence of our King and Saviour until the day he returns here to earth to set all things straight. Until, as Revelation 21 and 22 present to us, God brings us into the new creation, where everything is renewed, when sin is finally judged and banished, a place where there is no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. A physical creation here on this earth, where 1 Corinthians 15, we are reunited with our renewed bodies. Heaven is a present reality, and it's a future hope for us as Christians, but it's not our ultimate hope. Heaven is not the end. So I return to my opening quote. I'm hoping I don't have to go to heaven, but I accept that I may have to. Heaven will be glorious, but how much better if Jesus returns to bring in the new creation before we die? That's the end game. And surely on that note, the thought stirs within us, the cry of the church across the ages, the cry of the last pages of the Bible, Amen, come, Lord Jesus. Heaven is God's place, and heaven is for Christians. Heaven begins now with our citizenship in heaven, but comes fully at death when we actually go to be with Jesus in spirit. Yet heaven is not the end. Jesus and those with him, they're coming back, where Jesus will renew our creation, a physical reality, spirit and body here on earth. Our final destination, the new creation. So as we finish, it seems fitting to close with the final verses of Jude, the same words we closed the funeral service with, declaring the greatness of our God who is able to take us through death and into eternity safe in the arms of Christ. They are words of encouragement for all who trust in Jesus. And they are words to call all those listening to trust in Jesus. Words of prayer. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen.